Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
I'm delighted this morning and online. I thank you for being a part of our great mission service. We're delighted to introduce to you missionary Peter and Pat DeWitt. They're both lifetime missionaries serving for over four decades, dedicated their lives to serving God across the continent, transforming communities, church planting, giving refugee support, and doing creative outreach. They have been ministering in Thailand for over 22 years. They've been ministering in Paris for 12 years. They were in Germany for a while. They went through the French Emerge program in Quebec. They are lifetime, loving, faithful, happy, couldn't get better. Welcome to this pulpit, missionary Peter and Pat DeWitt.
I'll stop at 10 after, right? Okay.
Okay. Wow, it's so wonderful to be in the house with our Pickering family. This is absolutely wonderful. I can tell that this is a family who loves a good beat. Right? I just want to do something. I feel like I have to do something. Everybody, at the same time, we're going to create a beat. Follow my beat, okay? I'm going to do it on the mic. Are you ready? Well done. Okay. That is the beat that I've been hearing. It's a heartbeat. And you carry the heartbeat of God. Not just in this city, but through your giving and your support of people like us and all the people who are going to benefit from your generosity, your small acts of goodness, our small acts of goodness, our great acts of generosity. Together, we carry this heartbeat of God into the world, to the people who their worth has been flatlined, and we come in with this heartbeat of God, and we resuscitate, and we create a resuscitation in the hearts of people and remind them of their true worth and their true value. We are very excited to be going back to Thailand. We've been in France for almost 12 years. We are going back with this heartbeat, with your heartbeat, with our heartbeat, joined to the Father's heartbeat. And this has reconnected me with my mother's heart as well. We're going back to the people whose worth has been flatlined by the lies of their bloodlines. We want to reconnect them with the truth of who they are and how valuable that they are to the heart of God. And this is all based on this great big word called love. And so we're carrying this love, the love that you give us, that we share in the heartbeat of God into the nations.
Good morning, everybody. For God so loved the whole thing, right? He loved the world that he gave his very best. And I think God is calling each one of us also to love the world and to give our very best. That is what the mission heart of God is all about. Now, I am so thankful for this church. Man, PPC, I think it should be Praise Prayer Church. Because, man, you guys were praising, you were praying. Fire fell, really. But wouldn't you like to also be known for one other thing? Love. For God so loved, Jesus so loved, he gave everything for each one of us. And so our lives, Patricia and Peter, PP, is all about giving our very best. Now, I have less than 15 minutes, and I have a sermon of about an hour, so I'm going to really go through this very quickly. So, Paul, the greatest missionary that ever lived, apart from Jesus Christ. Paul worked so hard, he was so wise, so gifted, writings are amazing. He went everywhere preaching the gospel, unstoppable, unshakable, churches being birthed here and there and here and there. But there was an enemy trying to stop his work, but he would not stop until he was really finished. Now, I want to be that way too. I want to be unstoppable. I want to be unshakable until my story is finished. Well, Paul had this group of people following him, trying to destroy what he began. They were called Pharisees. They were called people who thought they knew Jesus, but they wanted to keep their Jewish trappings. They went around saying, "You need to keep the law of Moses too. Jesus plus the law. Jesus plus circumcision." Paul said, "No, no, no, no. Jesus is enough. Jesus paid it all. Jesus gave us freedom. My gospel is Jesus is enough for you." So he wrote to the Galatian church and said to them, "I went to Jerusalem 14 years after my conversion, and I wanted a meeting with the leaders." And then he name drops. He said Peter was there, the head of the church. James was there, the head of the church in Jerusalem, thousands of members. And John was there. He wrote 5 books of our Bible, and he was the head of the church in Asia Minor. And he said, "They gave me the right hand of fellowship." Raise your right hand. Yeah, shake the hand next to the person and say, "Right hand of fellowship." Yeah. They said to me, "Paul, your message is right on. You're the apostle to the Gentiles. You don't have to change anything, but..." Can you remember one thing, Paul? And then we have Galatians chapter 2. I think it's coming right here. All they asked was that we should continue to remember. Yeah, Paul, in all your preaching, in all your teaching, in all your church planting, in all your leadership stuff, Paul, don't forget to care for the poor. And he said, "Man, we are eager to do that because that is exactly what Jesus is like." Jesus started his ministry. First sermon, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach this gospel to the people that society devalues, the marginalized, the people we like to ignore, the people who say we're invisible." Jesus says, "I'm coming for you." Don't forget them, Paul. Don't forget them. Well, we started our ministry in Quebec. 10 years later, we were in Thailand. I was 29 years old. I wanted to prove myself. I wanted people to know I'm a good preacher. I wanted to be like a known missionary. When I got to Paris, after brain surgery, something happened in my brain. Or in my spirit, or in my heart. It was like, I have to start a second chapter. And second chapter, Corinthians chapter 12, was mine. "In my weakness, your grace is enough. In my weakness, my power can be manifested through you, Peter." And so we got to Paris, and I knew something had to change. I was no longer going to be the preacher in the pulpit. I had to learn Matthew chapter 25. See, Jesus began with this. "I am anointed for the poor to bring liberty to the captive." But Jesus finished one of his last sermons, says, Matthew 25, "There's coming a day when the king will speak to all of us. And he'll say, 'Ah, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was cold, you gave me clothing. When I was in prison, you visited me. Oh, when I was a stranger, you welcomed me in your home.'" Wow, that's the Matthew 25 ministry. So when we were in Paris, I felt like this is something that I need to put into practice. I needed to learn how to walk like Jesus in the world. You see, I was Jesus to the church in Thailand. I was always with Christians. I was preaching in camps. I was in the committee meetings. I was with Christians. I was Jesus to Christians. But something was wrong with that picture because I'm a missionary. A missionary should be somebody who is with those who are in need, those who are captive, those who are in prison, those who are hungry. And so in Paris, I said, I'm not going to buy a car. I'm going to learn how to walk to be Jesus to the world. And so I began just by like giving my turkey, Christmas turkey, to somebody on the street. And it grew to hundreds of sandwiches, to hundreds of pairs of sneakers, brand new, to hundreds and hundreds of pairs of underwear, hundreds of pairs of socks, to welcoming people in my home and feeding them the best food that I could. I began to welcome acts of justice, acts of compassion, kindness, generosity. I began to learn how to walk the Jesus walk. And I think what I learned most of all is, hey, maybe not all of us can be preachers in a pulpit, and that's fine, but all of us can learn how to walk the Jesus walk. All of us can become more like Jesus. And in the end, isn't that the whole goal of it? That we learn how to love like God loves? I knew something was about to change again while I was in Paris. Oh, yeah, we're almost there 12 years. And I said to Pat, something is changing again in my heart. God's got something, one more chapter for us. And I'm thinking, one more chapter? And so we went to Italy for a conference for refugees because we've been working with refugees for all these years. And it's been wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I've learned so much about solidarity. Not charity, because charity is a one-time event, but solidarity is learning how to walk hand in hand with the vulnerable and staying there until the vulnerable feel like I'm loved, I'm welcomed, I belonged. That's a justice ministry. Loving people is all about bringing dignity, welcome, kindness, and saying you belong. It doesn't matter where you're from, what your standing in life is. Oh, man, God loves you, and so I love you. But I felt like something was changing, and I went to this conference, and we had an opportunity to speak to a beautiful pastor. And I told him, I think there's something happening in my heart. And he said, define your ministry. And I said, well, to begin with, when I was just a teenager, I knew I was going to be a missionary. I loved reading about missions. I went to Bible school. I was 17 years of age. A missionary came from Cambodia. I was like, oh my Lord, my heart is breaking. And I felt, yes, I am going to Cambodia. I'm a missionary to Cambodia. I went to Thailand. And I told him about my life there and how after 4 years of Thailand, I said, God, I don't want to be just Thailand. I want to go to Vietnam. I want to go to Cambodia. I want to go to Japan. And God opened doors all over the place for me to preach. And I'm telling my story, and he says, that's pretty cool. And I said, yeah, I wanted the M to be on my forehead, Mr. Missionary Man. In fact, I came to Canada after 4 years, and I lived in the mission house at Agent Court Pentecostal Church. I met your pastor, Marie Miller, for the first time, and she looked at me and said, oh, you must be the missionary man. I said, that's me. And then I had a visit from the general superintendent of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, David Wells. This was after about maybe 10 years in Thailand. He came to visit us, and he said, oh, you must be the Maverick. I said, me, the Maverick? Oh, that's a nice M word. I wonder what it means, Maverick. And I looked at it, and it meant unorthodox, unconventional, a little different, maybe a little weird. And I thought, yeah, I can be that. In fact, it's pretty natural for me. And Patricia and I, we started a church called New Song with a bunch of Americans. And we had a welcome at the door, and it was a big poster that said, "New song, Home for the Misfits." I thought, that's us. And I thought, you know what? That's even Jesus. He was unconventional. You couldn't put him in any categories. People were always like, who is this man? Why is he doing things so differently? Never thought I'd ever see it like that. And I bore that title, the Maverick Missionary, with pride. And so we began to welcome people in our home near the end of our time in Thailand. They would be refugees from Vietnam, children from the Black Thai tribe, children from the Hmong tribe. We would welcome people like that were in prostitution and the pimps, and they would become Christian. We would marry them in our home, and we would invite people that, oh, wow, a pregnant girl, and nobody wanted to take care of her, but we said, come into our home. She could give birth in a hospital. Come in our home. We'd teach her how to be a mom. And we were just very unorthodox. We just like, how do we show love in this situation? And the Lord was teaching us stuff. And he kept on teaching us stuff in Paris about how do we do this? How do we show love? Lately there's been this song in my heart. I can't even sing it, but it says something like, I went to the Father and I said, give me more power and I need more fire. And he said to me, no, all you need is more love. All you need is more love. How are we going to change this world, folks? It is on a trajectory that is seeming like, wow, uphill battle. The only way we can change things is all of us doing our own part of showing how to love people. So I had a dream, and in that dream I was cleaning a sidewalk, and somebody tapped me on the back and says, what are you doing? I said, I'm cleaning the sidewalk so it looks better here. And they said, you can't clean the whole thing. And I said, no, but I can clean this part here. And it was like the Lord was saying, if you do, Peter, what you're called to do, and if you're the church, every one of us in the church would do what we've been called to do. If we could do our small things, we put all those small things together, we're going to overwhelm the world with love. I think that's how it works. And so my counselor said, okay, you're the missionary, man. You're the maverick. Now in the next stage of your ministry, how do you want to define yourself? And up to now, Patricia didn't say one word. I've been speaking like for 20 minutes. And I looked at him and I closed my eyes. And there are moments when you just like, it's inexplicable. God doesn't only move in the church. He can move in a hotel room. He can move anywhere. But in that moment, God moved in my heart in such a way that I began to weep. I cried. Because I saw something in the Spirit for my life. I see how Jesus disciples me. And the word came to me, and I was so like taken aback that I said, I can't share this right now. In fact, it took me a couple months before I could share it with my wife. It wasn't an M word. I thought maybe I'd get an M word again, like mentor or something. But it was an F word. And I said, God, you want me to be a friend. In all my flaws and all my failures, dans toutes mes faiblesses, you want me to be your friend. And I thought about that chapter in John chapter 15, which is one of the most mystical chapters in all of the Bible, really, where Jesus says, you know, my Father is the vine keeper. I am the vine. You are the branches. You got to remain in me. If you remain in me, you're going to bear much fruit. But apart from me, without my life flowing in your veins, in your spirit, you can't do anything. It's got to be through me. And then he gets to chapter 15, right in the middle, he kind of stops it and he says, "Hey, you know, boys, I want you to know something. Up till now, you've been my servants. You've been good servants. But now, there's going to be a change. I've been calling you my servants, but now I want to call you friends." Being a servant is a wonderful thing. A servant is somebody who receives a duty and he does it to the best of his ability for his master. In heaven, one of the greatest titles is servant of the king. We don't diminish the word servant. All our lives, we are servants. Jesus said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's a good thing. But Jesus was discipling his disciples and he says, "Hey, I want to bring you to a new place where you know beyond the shadow of a doubt, you are my friends." A friend is somebody who is with that person through good and through bad. It's intentional. It's tough sometimes to be a good friend. A real friend. But Jesus said, "You as my friends, wherever you go in this world, instead of performing for me like a duty, like a servant would, I want you to do it with great joy as a friend. So no matter what you say, where you go," often in Paris, I'm on the streets and I minister so often to Muslim people on the streets, and they, one of the first questions is, "What religion are you?" And so often at the beginning I would say, "Oh, I'm a Christian, but not one of those kinds." You know what I mean? One of those, you know, judgmental kinds. But I had to stop that and start saying, "I'm a friend of Jesus. Why do you do what you do? I'm a friend of Jesus." Near the end of our time in Paris, I was ministering to these miners from Guinea, and they would always say, "Call me Papa. Papa, I need a birth certificate. Papa, I need to bring my birth certificate to the embassy to get it legalized. Papa, Papa, Papa." And I would bring them to my house, and I said, "Well, Papa wants to pray. We're going to pray to Isa. We're going to pray to Jesus." And you know what? Those little boys, they were 15, 16, 17 years of age. When I prayed, they would amen louder than most Pentecostals. "Yes, amen, amen." And I thought, wow, this is the way Jesus walked in the world. Can I show you just a few of my friends in closing? This is my friend Alassane from Senegal. Anybody from Senegal here? No? I love this man. He's 50 now. I found him underneath a bridge with about another 15 Senegalese guys. Rats were running around. One guy got terrible disease, tuberculosis, and disappeared for a few months. I remember feeding this fellow, Alassane, at least 3 times a week, and we became friends. Invite him to my house. But one time, I went to where he stayed, and the police were on top of him. The cop car was there, and they were trying to put handcuffs on him. I said, "Stop! That's Alassane. He's a good man." But they were sick and tired of seeing those guys take drugs and alcohol. But I befriended this older man. And I remember Alassane came to me one day and said, "Peter, I've stopped drinking. I've stopped taking drugs. I've stopped smoking." I said, "Well, that's cool. Why?" He said, "Oh, it's because of you and your team." I said, "Really?" He said, "You guys have been coming week after week after week sharing love." And I thought, I'm not going to waste this sacrifice of their love. I'm going to change my life. And now this man, he tells everybody about Peter, the guy who is like Jesus. He's a Muslim today, but he knows that I am like Jesus. What a compliment. Because my best friend, he would do the same thing. Or I like this guy here, Khaled Issa. This man was so depressed when I met him, said, I hate all religion, because religion had destroyed his country in Syria, put his father in prison for 5 years. He was supposed to be a soldier. He said, no way, he fled. But through time, we became friends. And he wrote to me, he said, Peter, you and Patricia have renewed my hope. You gave me hope to believe that God loves everybody no matter what their religion. Or how about this couple here? I love this couple. This is Najwan and Sama. They're also from Syria. They're journalists. She's a Christian. He's a Muslim. And somehow they found themselves in Paris. They found themselves in our home month after month. And they said, you are our village. We lost our village in Syria, but you are our village. Or this young lady named Netra, she's a smiley one. She helped me feed people every week, 3 times a week, without fail. But she's not a Christian, she's a Hindu. I asked her, like, what language, what's your mother tongue? She said, my mother tongue is Canada. I said, oh, my mother tongue is Canada. She's a beautiful young lady, and today she's actually doing what I do in Paris. She is part of the volunteer team, making sure people get fed. And then my friend David, a Cambodian, and I have a soft spot for Cambodians. I really do. We were able to start Child Care Plus in Cambodia, and now today there's probably close to 1,000 children being sponsored through this program. But David, when we met him, was in bad shape, depressed, broke. We decided we would be generous with him. And he wrote to me before I left, he said, Peter and Pat, you were the mother and father I always longed for. You were my church. I could never repay. You see, we're learning how to be friends. It's not always easy to be with people in their hardship. But to me, this is what missions is all about. It's not somebody just preaches in a pulpit and says goodbye. But it's somebody who comes alongside and says, hey, how's it going? How can I help you? How can I serve you? What's your goal in life? And so we're going back to Thailand, but we're not going back the same kind of people. In November past, we were in Thailand, and we were holding an event for the women and men in the bars. The church that we were helping is called New Song. We started that church. They moved their church building right into the red light district so that they could minister to people that are the most down and out. And I remember that meeting so well because there was about 60 people who worked in the bars. The oldest was 80 years of age. She had been working in the bars all her life and became in charge of other young ladies. The youngest was about 14, 15. There were men, there were cross-dressers, there were every single kind. And we played games, we ate together, and then we hugged them in Jesus' name. We loved on them. And at that moment, I felt like, God, what are you doing in my heart? I said to Pat, Pat, you know, I've always wanted to go back to Thailand, finish off our ministry there. I wasn't expecting it to happen so soon. I'm only 63 now, right? And I said to her, what if, because we knew something was happening in our hearts, what if we went back to Thailand sooner than later? Are you ready? And she said, right away, yes, I am. And then she said, yes, I am. Yes, I am. Peter, did you hear what I said? Yes, Siam. Siam is the name of Thailand before it became Thailand. Siam. So now we want to be known a little bit like we are the Yes Siams. We want to say yes to Jesus for Siam. But we have a feeling that it's going to be, because I'm still the missionary man. I'm still a maverick. Can't take that out of me. But the thing I long to hear more than anything, to hear you say that I'm your friend. We sang that song, you're worthy of it all today. He's worthy of everything we do for him. We as his servants. But don't you want to come to a place where he says your name? Let it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you enjoyed today's episode and feel called to support and give to PPC, you can head over to our website at ppclife.ca, where you can give, get involved, and find out more information about our church. We can't wait to hear from you. God bless.